Not going to lie, hour number two, added some apple cider vinegar to the tea. Actually, Cindy did. Man, that tastes like ass. But it helps. All right, welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. If you're just joining us right now, still a little banged up, but I definitely sound better than yesterday, right? Am I right? Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. So we start the second hour, as I mentioned. I've got interviews coming up starting right now. I am efforting San Antonio Spurs guard Blake Wesley coming up at 40 past. I've got a safety for the Green Bay Packers, Adrian Amos, coming up in hour number three. The head coach at TCU, Sonny Dykes. I've got an episode I want to reset of the Jim Rome podcast. Hopefully there won't be very much of me to reset because I don't sound very good at all. But Thomas Dimitroff sounds amazing. Remember Thomas Dimitroff, longtime GM of the Atlanta Falcons. He was fired in 2020. He is out doing a number of other things. But man, this guy's energy, perspective, how introspective he is. And a guy now that because he doesn't have like the corporate handcuffs on, he let it rip. Great conversation. Well, he had great answers. My questions were aight and sounded worse, but he came off really well. I came off like Kermit the Frog, but I'm going to reset that. That's really good stuff. So that's coming up a little bit later on. In addition to that, I want to remind you that I'm going to work tomorrow and then I'm going to knock out two more weeks. So this is the time to get through. You want to call right now. If you want to get to me before I finish off that summer break, you want to do it right now because tomorrow is my last day and then I take two more weeks off. Dear Jim, I don't think your voice sounds strange. In fact, I think it sounds better with some raspiness. Sincerely, Judge Mills Lane.
That's when you know what the answer to that question is.
P.S. That's when you know what the answer to that question is. Michael in Raleigh, Durham. All right, Mike, thanks very much.
That's when you know what the answer to that question is.
All right, so as I'm waiting for Blake Wesley, we will continue to effort him. That means that you can call the program and get in here. And why don't we talk podcast for a minute? When I talk to you about my podcast, it's for two reasons. One, it's good content, and it's content that lives somewhere else that if you don't go find it, I want to make sure you're aware of it. Actually, that is what I'm talking about. It's not a shill. It's good content, and I want you to find it. Episode 230 of the Jim Rome podcast did land after the show yesterday. So, for instance, if training camps have got you craving high-level football talk, and you degenerates, and I mean that in a positive sense, like you can't get enough, and I know that you're in that space right now, and the preseason hasn't even started yet, but there's really good content and a lot of heat. I got you covered. This is your fix. If you're jonesing for that type of thing, I've got you covered. I will be an enabler because my guest this week is a two-time NFL Executive of the Year, longtime Falcons GM, Thomas Dimitroff. Now, he's had a pretty wild journey since his 12-and-a-half-year stint in Atlanta came to an end back in 2020. He's done a number of things since then, including purchasing a Sprinter van, getting himself a podcast, which is awesome, and driving across the country interviewing other GMs, peers, former adversaries. You know, it sounds great on paper, but the way he's gone about this is really creative and really unique. And he's doing this all while processing the first time he's ever been fired. And the first time he's been out of the league. The first time he's really been away from football in the better part of, actually, his entire life.
Well, I mean, waking up that morning after Arthur had delivered it to both Dan Quinn and I at his house, I was amazed because I thought this is the chance to finally see the funeral. It was emotional. For me, it was a wave of, look, it's time. I mean, I knew that deep down. I thought, look, I need a change in this. Not that I didn't want to leave. I wanted to leave football, but I was battling with that. And then again, I was going through these waves of emotion of being resentful, being pissed off, being happy and relieved that I didn't have to make that 55-minute drive every day. I mean, stupid little things like that, Jim, to the grand things. This is my life. This was my soul. As much as I have all these other things that I'm interested in, I was born and raised in the sport of football. And for me to not be involved in football on a day-to-day basis was something that was going to be a challenge for me. And again, all those different ideas of where I was and what I wanted to do while I was going through that sort of growing stage and dealing with this, I swear to God, I got up this morning, I was looking at all the NFL news and I thought, I'm ready. I can take this on. And it still beats at my knees. And it's still something that's tough for me every day to deal with. And I'm not sure how to take that, Jim. I hope that I can get over it. Maybe that's just my passion for the sport and in my life that way.
That's an incredible response. You know, you hear terms like real, raw, authentic. People are always throwing that around. But that was real. That was raw. That was authentic. That was really, really honest. You know, what it was like to get fired. How hard it was to get fired. How hard it was when that's your identity. That's what you know. That's what you love. That's what your passion is. And then all of a sudden that's ripped from you. Then you don't have another opportunity. So who are you if you don't have that? I mean, that is amazing stuff. Really good stuff. And that's exactly how we answered pretty much everything in that pod. The entire pod was like that. And again, he's such a different dude. To me, he was so far ahead of his time. And he shatters a lot of the preconceived notions of how NFL GMs think and speak and process. Because he's a different dude and always has been, which actually, in my opinion, probably caused some problems for him during his career and might even still be causing him problems right now. And we got into that topic, too.
I got scrutinized a lot. I had a lot of people, God bless my dad's soul, who passed away years ago, was in the business as a scout and a coach. Oh, you're nothing like your father. Your father was a through and through hardcore football man. I got along with everyone, of course, but there were those people out there that didn't like the way that I approached my diet. I mean, I ate vegetarian and or pescatarian for most of my adult life. And there was no reason to be self-righteous. It was what made me feel right. And beating to your own drum, it was one of the things in this league that you know, I always said to myself, and my dad said it on his deathbed, Thomas, you travel your journey the way you travel it. Whatever you do, I don't care what it is, be the strong person you are. I wish in the end I could have been as strong as you about your principles. And I remember hearing that when it was a very emotional time. And I believe it today. There are people out there that I know, Jim, don't necessarily appreciate my style, or I might not be the right fit for them. I'm sure those are the kind of people out there that are not hiring me or considering to hire me back as a general manager. There's a style element in this league that certain people just, you know, that's just not their way, right? But we have to walk our own journey the way that we believe in ourselves, and we have to look in our mirror. That's cliche, I get it, but it is what I believe.
Preach, dude. Preach. I mean, amen. He said, there are people in this league, I know this, that do not appreciate my style or my approach. Count me as somebody who really appreciates this guy, really respects this guy. And if you know the show, you know that we used to put him on. And when we used to put him on, it was very unusual for two reasons. Number one, hard to get GMs to come on programs. And number two, hard to get GMs who were as honest and authentic as he was. Multiply the way he was on this show then by 1,000, and you get the way he was on the podcast yesterday. Man, that energy, that insight, that authenticity, that fearlessness, it's incredible. You know, fact of the matter is, never mind a copycat league, but that's a league that in so many ways demands conformity. He said it himself. People were coming up to him and saying, why can't you be like your old man? You know, what do you mean you have a vegetarian diet? Why are you on that mountain bike? Why can't you be like your old man? In other words, why can't you say nothing, do nothing, but work 21 hours a day and sleep in your office? That's what I mean when I say this dude was so far ahead of his time. A different dude who came at it a different way and thought differently and was really effective. And in the end, it may have actually hurt him, when in reality, to me, that's often what wins. Case in point, his former colleague. And again, what his podcast is him driving around the country and sitting with current NFL GMs and chopping it up and talking about leadership and approach. And I think part of the reason that he doesn't have a job right now in the NFL, my own opinion, is he's so different. And people either don't like that, don't get that, are afraid of that, don't connect with that. But different is what wins if you have the right process and the right system and the right ideas. As an example, his former colleague and very, very good friend, Les Snead. The dude dominating the NFL front office game right now with an all-in approach is something we have not seen before. The two of them go way back, and Thomas shared some awesome insight into Snead's process, approach, success, and how the fraternity of NFL GMs actually does operate.
Les and I are really dear friends. You know, he worked with me at Atlanta before he got the gig at St. Louis back in the day. And we were very close prior to going into that job. He is a driven person. He'll go toe-to-toe with anyone, literally and figuratively speaking. But he just is a believer in himself. He believes in his abilities. He believes in his intelligence. We did that interview, again, outside of the van. We pulled out the awning, had our two Yeti chairs out there and the blah, blah, blah. And we were sitting out there looking over, you know, we were out on his beach and we were just talking about everything that was, you know, these guys like Les, I have so much history with, whether it was doing trades with them, Jim, or whether it was hanging out at the combine, doing things, looking at players, whether it was arguing about players. Those are the kind of things that you think about that honestly play into the ability to do a deal in the NFL that needs to be done. And I've said this time and again. I said it with John Snyder, a good friend of mine up in Seattle, or Eric DaCosta, whoever it may be. You can't get a deal done in this league if you don't have a trusting relationship with your GM contemporaries. If people don't trust you, and I've said this time and again, if your pigeonhole is full of shit, you have no chance of surviving in the NFL. And that's why it's so important to make sure that your relationships aren't full of crap and you are able to be operating and communicating on the right line.
What a quote. I mean, what a great conversation. And can I take a moment and say, we're pushing out really good content all the time. On this show, off this show. That is so good. But it was still nothing compared to what Thomas dropped when talking about his potential interest in another GM job moving forward.
I could sit there and say, of course, I love this game. I would love another opportunity to win a Super Bowl. We got there in 16 and, you know, unfortunately down our leg, which was tough, right? That was a tough, tough loss. That said, it was one of those kicks in the knees that helped me grow in certain ways. I oftentimes think about having another opportunity to build a championship team. I just told my fiance today, I'm like, this league, something's lacking that way. So I love it. But then I flip over to what we're talking about right now. And the energy and what we're getting out of life for the next, you know, hopefully 40 years in our life. I don't know if I want to be sitting, you know, locked up in rooms in the NFL. It has to be an organization and it has to be an understanding that there's so much more to give back, right? I have this drive right now in my 50s to be a part of a really important mentoring along with the team building, right? I would love to be a part of those. And on top of that, I would love to be a part of helping people grow and win a championship. But I am not going to do it if I'm going to go into an organization that someone, quite honestly, wouldn't give me the keys to the house and make sure that I was leading this the way that I wanted to lead it. Arthur Blank was great to me, don't get me wrong. But the next time I ever get an opportunity, if I were to get an opportunity, I would want someone to truly trust what I am and what I bring to the table. And we'd go from there. And I think we could win. I think there are a lot of really talented people out there that could come together and win in the National Football League.
All right. So that's why I do that pod. A lot to unpack there. First off, how about him saying, quote, "We unfortunately bleeped down our leg at the Super Bowl against the Pats." That's got to be one of the most brutally honest and accurate moments ever on the original Side Hustle. Yeah, and don't come in here and say, well, Rome, what do you expect? They did. Of course. But you don't hear the principals say that they did. He said it. We bleeped down our leg. We all know what happened, except he knows what happened. It was not afraid to say it and completely owned it. Extreme ownership. And then obviously, I connected with his clear passion to make sure that his best work is still ahead of him. I mean, the energy coming from this guy, the podcast, that conversation is so great. I could have lifted that episode and dropped it right into the very next episode of the Reinvention Project. So it was so great to get caught up with Thomas Dimitroff. Speaking of which, really quickly, my passion play, my passion project. You're going to want to double back if you missed last week's episode because E.T., the hip-hop preacher, rolled in and brought an entirely new point of view and perspective. If you know Eric Thomas, you know this ep is a must listen. If you do not know E.T., then I'm telling you this ep is a must listen. Here is a quick clip of E.T. describing how hard work and preparation put you in, quote, miracle territory, a.k.a. in position for a life-changing moment.
I just believe it's a little bit of everything. It's the universe is doing certain things. I got to do certain things. But even you being on this podcast with me, you're going to help me to create a reality that had you and I not connected would have never happened. I don't care if I do somebody else's podcast. There are going to be some doors that open up for me because I'm here. Where? I got my own building. I happen to be in one of the rooms. I got lights. I got a internet access. I've got a computer. I've got a keyboard. Like, I know how to read. You know what I'm saying? I click the button. I got a little technical skills. That's all miracle territory. Doing what I can when I can and connecting with people who've done what they're supposed to do, and collectively, boom, combustion, and something positive is going to happen to you because we're together. Probably more good stuff is going to happen to me because I'm on your platform. And to me, that's what a miracle is. Everybody and everything doing what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, and lining up together and making magic happen.
I mean, goosebumps. Here's my thing. If something good is going to happen to him because he came on my platform, and something good is going to happen to me because I had him on my platform, what's going to happen to you if you listen to that whole conversation? Something pretty freaking great. Like, I don't know, that this is why he is not only one of the best motivational speakers and public speakers in the world, but arguably the single best. Nobody sounds like E.T. Nobody has that energy. His cadence, what he says, how he says it, what he brings to it, and his life, his story, the way he came up. Homeless for a time, eating out of trash cans, dropped out of high school, got a GED, took 12 years to get a four-year degree, got a master's, got a PhD, and now this. That's why I'm over there playing in that sandbox. The Reinvention Project, episode 49 with Eric Thomas, a.k.a. E.T., the hip-hop preacher. I'd been chasing him for well over a year. Finally got him, and it was amazing. Episode 230, the Jim Rome Podcast with former Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff. Incredible. Track them both down once we're off the air today. You will not regret it. Why do I do that on this show? A couple of reasons. One, I want you to know I'm busting my ass on this show and off this show. And number two, it's just good content. It's good quality premium content free of charge. Go find it. You'll like it. It's good stuff. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the team for putting it together. All right, when we come back, we found Blake Wesley. That's coming up next. Protect your vehicle's engine with Syntec and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Syntec Premium Full Synthetic Motor Oil is formulated for today's engines to dissipate heat and friction and reduce wear. Right now, get 5 quarts of Syntec Full Synthetic and MicroGuard Select Filter for only $33.99. Try Syntec today, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. They're close, they're convenient, and they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So we officially start the interview portion of the program. We are joined by a guard for the San Antonio Spurs. He averaged 17 points, 4 assists in summer league play. He was a second-team All-ACC-er, an ACC All-Rookie Team member. He was the 25th pick in this year's draft out of Notre Dame. He appears courtesy of Herbalife Nutrition. I'm talking about Blake Wesley. Blake, good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on here. Appreciate that.
It's good to have you on here. I appreciate you doing it. So let me ask you, in the last month alone, you've been drafted by the Spurs. You had a really strong summer league performance. Now you're getting ready for your first NBA season. What has the last month been like for you?
It's been a blessing. That's all I can say. My parents have been here for me. God has been here for me. Family, friends, Joe, my trainer said, people at Impact. It's been a journey. Nobody thinks I can do this, being in this position. So to be in this position is good for me and my family. We're enjoying the process right now, getting back to work. Got a little training camp session August 8th through the 18th over in San Antonio. So I'm just getting ready for that and just getting ready for the season. It's going to be a good season.
Blake Wesley joining us. I like that. So if we talk about the journey, if you and I were to go back just over a year, you were getting ready for your freshman season at Notre Dame. You were coming into a program where you were mostly going to play with seniors, and you said that initially it was actually challenging because they were bigger, they were stronger, they were older. What was that time like for you, and then how did that make you better?
That time like me, so when I first got there in the summer, my freshman year was a little nervous, as I mean, every freshman was a little nervous. Are you going to play or not going to play? It's a different kind of play from high school. So I was the man over at Riley, but then I had to earn my spot over at Notre Dame. So it helped me a lot. During the summer, I enjoyed playing with seven seniors. The most guy I enjoyed was playing with was Prentice Hubb. So he was the one that took me under his belt and made me better. Obviously, everybody made me better on the team, but the seven seniors, playing with them was good. They taught me a lot on and off the court.
Blake Wesley, right, is joining us. Excuse me, I was going to jump in and ask you about your coach, because Mike Bray is one of my favorite guys in college basketball to talk to. Everybody loves Mike Bray. He's loose. He's comfortable. What was he like to play for?
It was good. I feel like a lot of freedom. I mean, if you shoot a couple bad shots, you'd be like, okay, pass it up. But, I mean, he let you just play, let you play your game. As you see at Notre Dame, we just played a good coach, coachable. He taught me a lot, was on me a lot, which I liked. Just good coach overall.
You know, I'm looking at your situation. I was going to say, Blake, you had a really strong performance at Illinois in November. Then you hit that pull-up jumper with less than 12 seconds left to take the lead in the win over number 10, Kentucky. You're from South Bend. You started that game, and then you hit the biggest shot of the season in a win over Kentucky. What do you remember about the feeling of that shot, that win, and doing it in your hometown? What was all that like?
So the funny thing is, I was talking to our manager before the game. I was like, bro, I think I'm hitting game winner the next day, tomorrow, like during the game. He was just laughing. I'm like, I'm being for real. I'm going to hit a game winner. So next day, hit a game winner. And to do that in my hometown was good. I always dreamed about hitting a game winner, especially against the top 10 team, so versus Kentucky. So it was good. City loved it. Family loved it. Friends loved it. So it was an unbelievable moment.
I love hearing the story also. Blake Wesley joining us. So the story also goes that when you first got to Notre Dame, you weren't thinking about being one and done. You were thinking maybe you'd be there a couple of years. When did you first start to think that maybe you could make that jump to the NBA after one season? And then what were the signs that let you know that you were ready and your game was ready?
Right. So, I was not thinking about one and done. Me and my dad talked about 2 years and then you're out of there. But I feel like when I first thought I was being one and done was after the Kentucky game. And when I started rising up, we played Illinois, stuff like that, all the top teams started getting rose up from there. So my confidence got better. I feel like I was a pro after those couple of games. So to come out one and done is good for Notre Dame. So the first one and done. So, sure.
I got you. Blake Wesley joining us. So you remember the Spurs. The thing about the pre-draft workouts, they can be funny, right? Like, during those workouts, it's grueling in the sense that you're all over the country, you're living out of a suitcase, you got to do these workouts, and you move on to the next city. You said before the draft that you felt like you had a really good workout with San Antonio. What do you remember about that particular workout, and did you feel like the team was going to draft you after you worked for them?
For sure, yeah. I mean, was living out of my suitcase for almost a month. Cleaning clothes at hotels, traveling from airport to airport was tough. I mean, I feel like that's a tough situation to be in. But overall, yeah, when I went to San Antonio, I went there with a mindset, the chip on my shoulder, just go out there and kill, go out there and attack everybody that is either above me or below me. Just go out there and play a chip on your shoulder. And I showed the Spurs that I got to play, and I fit their team. It was good. Played defense, attacked the basket, pushed the ball out, played good in the 3-on-3, 1-on-1. So I was active and just aggressive. So, yes, sir.
Hey, Blake, where does the chip come from? Like you said, I mean, you're used to being the man, right? So you had a really good year at Notre Dame. You're used to being the guy. I'm really curious about the chip. What is the chip exactly? What kind of fuel are you running on right now?
I'm running a lot of fuel. I mean, I was 25th overall pick. I'm blessed to be 25th overall pick, but I feel like I should have went higher, but that's okay. So all the people that went before me, I just try to attack them and go at them to show that I could have been higher than them, but that doesn't matter overall. I was 25th pick. My family proud of me. I'm proud of myself. So then I got really slept on in high school. Wasn't Indiana All-Star. I mean, wasn't Indiana Mr. Basketball. Wasn't in the top six, so going into college to play, chip on my shoulder, okay, like I got to show them that I should have been Mr. Basketball. So just play with a lot of feel. That's all I need to do.
I like it. Blake Wesley is joining us. So part of that is you got to be all in, right? It's like a holistic thing. I would imagine as you start your professional career, it's got to be about rest, nutrition, working out, basketball, non-basketball. I would imagine Herbalife plays into all of this. You've got a relationship with them. You're working with them. How would you describe that experience, and what's that been like for you so far working with Herbalife?
It's been good. So I've been working with Joe and Isaac over at Impact, and they introduced me to Herbalife. It's big key to being an athlete. I mean, they got the nutrition stuff. They got the social media stuff. And I feel like it helped me during the process. I usually took a CR7 drive. It's like a before, after, or during a workout. It's like kind of like Gatorade, but like a little healthier. It's nice. And then little protein shakes here and then here and now. And then they got these little chocolate bars that are have protein in it. So I took those almost every day. And those really helped me to get my fuel, to get my recovery. So, yeah, Herbalife played a good role in my situation.
Right. That's the Herbalife Nutrition Impact Basketball Center in Las Vegas. And that sounds like a completely holistic approach all in. My man, I like the energy. I like the chip. I like the fuel. I like the energy. But I'm not surprised. I always say this. Anytime I talk to anybody who went to Notre Dame, be it basketball or football, they all show up like that. Not exactly like this. I think you went next level with it, but I'm not surprised. Notre Dame always seems to have that kind of quality. Blake, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. I like that energy a lot, a lot. There's something about it. Notre Dame. The next interview that I do with a Notre Dame athlete, current, former, whatever, that is flat will be the first. It's kind of almost hard. It's almost eerie to me at this point. Notre Dame players, coaches always show up a certain way. And I'm not surprised by that at all. So that was worth the wait. When we come back, Adrian Amos.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That is true. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California, and we are talking Packer football right now. If you're on hold, stay right there. Phone call is coming up, but we are joined by a safety for the Packers. Not only a safety, but a safety coming off a career year. He had a career-high 93 tackles last season. Two INTs, six passes defensed, one of three safeties in the NFL with multiple INTs and 70-plus tackles in each of the last four seasons. 142nd pick overall in 2015 out of Penn State. Co-owner of Branded Bespoke. And the Packers are going to open up against Minnesota on September 11th. It's coming pretty quickly. Adrian Amos is my guest. Adrian, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Good. Good to have you back. All right, so you're getting ready to enter your eighth season, which is a pretty big number, right? Not only that, but as I mentioned off the top, you're coming off the best season of your career. You and I have talked in the past that playing this long is not luck. It's work. It's skill. How much pride is there in getting to this point and still playing and staying at an elite level?
It's, you know, it's never be as satisfied. It's, a lot of blessings come involved, is involved in that as well. But it's just a work year in and year out, staying in shape, doing the right things. That, you know, I've come up with a training regimen during the off season with my guy PJ, and we just been sticking to it, and then taking care of my body during the season. So it's just a level of, you know, trying to be consistent day in and day out.
So what's that off-season workout look like? Like, I don't expect you to share every intimate detail of it, but generally, what are the types of things that you're working on in the off-season to make sure you're ready for the season?
a lot of things are specific to me, to what I have to do. I know early on, you know, just working on running, form, technique, a lot of things, staying explosive, but also staying in shape, getting that cardio. I do different stuff to, you know, continue my cardio as far as, you know, I'm not a big, you know, run laps guy. So I do stuff like boxing and things like that. On cardio days to get that wind up, but just other stuff, just working on my performance, the things that I need specifically to you know, to be ready for camp and to last the season.
I get that. One more thought about that. When the season ends, how much time do you give yourself? I mean, will you shut it down and do almost nothing at all for a period of time? And if so, how long?
No, I'm a, you know, I consider myself a fat boy, so like I can't take off too long because I feel like I'll gain too much weight too fast and they'll put me at backer or something. So I, you know, like after the season, I'll do like, I won't do as much. So I'm not lifting heavy or nothing like that, but I still stay a little bit of cardio and stuff like that, you know, early on. So the only time I'm not doing, you know, you can say nothing, but like stretching and stuff is like, you know, maybe, you know, a week, maybe, or two, a week or two, I give my body a rest as far as like anything, but then I got to get back to at least doing something. Yeah, I take at least a month or two off from actually like lifting and putting, you know, a lot on my joints.
Dude, I love what you just said, especially that first part, that you consider yourself a fat boy, because I consider myself a fat boy too. Explain this to me, man. Why is it so hard to take it off, but it comes back on so fast and so easy? What is that?
I don't know. I think it's genetics kind of, because I have a sister and brother that can eat everything and wake up in the morning and gain no weight. Like, you know, my younger sister like
must
can
be
eat
nice.
Anything, and she got a six pack. So it's like, man, I think that's just how you made me. If I eat, I'm gonna gain weight fast. You might not be able to see it as much, but that scale gonna definitely tell you.
Hey, and the scale does not lie either. Adrian Amos is joining us now. I feel you. All right, so earlier this offseason, you invited your DB teammates to work out with you in Baltimore. You know, we see quarterbacks do that all the time. What was your thinking behind that, and then how did that go?
So, you know, when COVID happened, it made me, you know, start thinking about having training stuff at my house. So I started building. I built a little field, and then later on, I got a weight room built in my backyard. So like, I have that stuff, and then I wanted guys to just come out during the summer, get some training sessions in, and then they came to my camp. I thought, you know, the camp I throw in every year. So at the end of the week, you know, they helped me with the kids. We got about 150 kids signed up and did the, you know, annual smash camp.
I like that, too. Adrian Amos is joining us. Always good to get back. So ESPN does a poll earlier this summer. They ranked the top 10 safeties. You don't make the list. I know you saw that. What was your reaction to the list? Did that sort of aggravate you that you don't get that level of respect, at least there, or do you ignore something like that?
You know, you obviously see it, and you want to be respected, but I don't take it as, you know, that it's not fair or anything like that. I take it as in, I just have to do more. You know, I have to get my name out. I have to have that, you know, multiple pick season, that, you know, that breakout year still, and I'm just still working. But I feel respected in my locker room by my peers, by my coaches, and things like that. So by my family. So I'm not too worried about it. It doesn't make me down or anything. It's just, you know, I got to work and to get noticed even more.
Hey, listen, it's a really classy response, because I'm going to pick you up and then flip it on its head. I think the people who know. The people who know, because the folks at PFF hold you in very high regard. They refer to you as, quote, one of the most underrated players in the game and has a real argument to be seen as the league's best safety, end of quote. So what's it mean to hear that? And do you feel like you've got a game that can only truly be appreciated by people who actually study the game?
Well, I mean, I guess you could say, because if you just look at, you know, just raw stats, I haven't had that six interception year or something like that. So it's hard to, you know, compute it by that. But, you know, play by play, I feel like I'm pretty consistent. And but yeah, it's good to hear, you know, when people do appreciate what you do, and by any metric, whether you like it or not, by any metric, if you have me up there in good company with, you know, other good players, that's always an honor. But but yeah, like I said, when you don't make as many, you know, have as much flashy stats and things like that, and you have to actually watch the film to see what I can do, You know what I'm saying? It's always going to be that, you know, that polarizing. You'll have people say, what, he's top 10? And then you'll have people say, no question, he's top 10. So, you know, I have to just go by what I believe in myself and, you know, prove it every year.
Well, the guys around you know. Adrian Amos is joining us. The guys around you know. Think about that. You have at safety a guy that you've played with for quite some time in Darnell Savage. You've only missed three games since 2019. You haven't missed a game since joining the Packers. He's only missed three games since 2019. So you guys know each other real well. And then you combine that with Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, Rasul Douglas at corner. Could you make an argument that this is, in fact, then the best secondary in the NFL?
For sure, you can always make, you know, you can make the argument, but we have to do it each and every game. You know, I'm a big, like, all right, we got it on paper, now let's go prove it. Because like I said, what can you prove that you can do? You know what I'm saying? By stats, by what we're actually doing to teams. If we have the ability to be consistent enough to, you know, do that throughout the entire season, I feel like we can be.
Adrian, you've spent some time in punt coverage this offseason. I'm curious, what's that been like for you? Is that something you're into, or are you just doing whatever the team needs you to do to make the team better?
For sure. We got to do whatever, you know, the team needs. We know how important special teams is, and, you know, how it comes up in crucial situations. And, you know, we got to do it. In Chicago, my first 4 years, I had to play a lot of special teams as well, too, you know what I'm saying, along with my role on defense. And I'm used to, you know, I'm used to special teams. So I think it's great that the entire, you know, the entire team, you know, is invested in what we're doing on special teams now. And, you know, that can make us that much better come season time.
You know, it's been 19 months since David Bakhtiari tore his ACL, and he's had at least three knee procedures. He said yesterday, quote, "It's a nightmare, my nightmare that I have to live, and I don't know how many days it's been, but I'm just excited to wake up one day," end of quote. Like, you understand this is part of the business. You know, injuries are a part of the game, but how tough is it to see a teammate go through something like this and hear him talk about it like that?
Yeah, man, it's tough. We're coming to football, you know, it's a tough game. You know, and things happen sometimes, but, you know, we're excited to have him back. He's a, whenever he gets back, you know, we got a couple guys like that are, you know, that have been out that we're excited to get back and make our team, you know, complete. You always want to have, you know, all your top players out there, but, you know, hopefully, you know, everything comes around and he's in better spirits and we can get going.
Listen, I know you're a huge basketball fan. As one pro athlete, one competitor watching another, what did you think and see as you were watching Steph Curry rip another chip this year?
Man, you know, in my opinion, I've been saying for the past couple of years, he's the best point guard ever. I know, you know, that people are going to say Magic, different places, but players like that. But Curry is something that we have never seen before. He's the, you know, he's the best shooter ever. And he can do the other things that might be, you know, that might overshadow his shoot. I mean, it might be overshadowed by his shooting, but he does all the things. He can dribble, he can pass, he can do all those things. So, in my opinion, you know, he didn't change the whole game. And I think he's the best point guard ever.
So on top of that, like, as somebody who's not resting on his laurels, like, you're never satisfied. How impressed are you with the work that he's done this late in his career, the way he went into the weight room, the way he got so much stronger, the way he's kind of reinvented himself? Like, we know he can shoot it. We know what he can do. But clearly, despite all the success and everything he's already achieved, this guy's still not done. He's still hungry.
For sure. You can just tell he won it. He works on it. It's guys like that. Like, it's just guys that just have it in them to keep working and keep grinding and not be satisfied and want to be great, want to be, you know, considered a legend. And that's people that you can learn from. You can learn from in different sports, your own sport, that the guys that play a long time and are great and on top of the long time, they take care of their bodies. They continue to improve. You see LeBron playing almost 20 years and still being great. So that's just, you know, that's a testament to them and their work ethic.
It seems to me they take care of their body, but they honor their craft, right? They honor their craft. They never stop working on their craft. I mentioned off the very top that you're the co-owner of Branded Bespoke. Yesterday, Penn State players at Big Ten Media Days were in Branded Bespoke suits. How much pride was there for you to see that?
Man, that's great. You know, that's great. That's something that, that I'm proud of off the field as far as, you know, we're getting going, getting more people in our suits. More people are seeing, what we offer as far as, we can make anything custom towards a player, athletes, anybody, and high quality, high service. So, it's just great that, things that I'm being interested in off the field are doing well, as well. So, that was great to see.
That is great to see. He's coming off one of his best seasons ever, 93 tackles last year, one of three safeties, and I do love the stat, one of three safeties in the NFL with multiple INTs and 70-plus tackles in each of the last 4 years. Packers opening up at Minnesota September 11th. Adrian Amos, my guest. Adrian, appreciate you. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Hey, man, thank you for having me on.
Appreciate you. Always good to have you on. Always good to talk ball with you. All right, setting up hour number three, I've got Sonny Dykes. He's the head coach at TCU. That's coming up at 20 past, meaning top of the hour. Next segment is open. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Also, some reaction that I'm looking for. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome or email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. This guy says, "Dear Jim, Blake went to San Antonio with the mindset to kill. I'm in San Antonio, and I have the mindset to kill every day. To kill good radio. Signed, Gino, that bum-ass, smack-off, no-showing hack." Signed, Brett and Bugahaw. "Sorry, I'm not sorry." Damn, Brett. Stay tuned. Third hour's next.